So with all the mystery surrounding the will of God, the Lord says, you need some wisdom? Ask. You need to know my will? Just ask me. I'll reveal it to you. And I want you to note that according to the scriptures, God is not trying to hide his will from us. He's not trying to keep us from knowing and understanding his will. He's not trying to keep us from having wisdom and understanding and discernment. In fact, just the opposite is true. It is the desire of God to fill us with understanding and wisdom. So whatever your need is today, you need some wisdom. You have some situations in life you don't know how to deal with. Go to God with them. Admit that you have a need. Ask him for wisdom and trust that he'll help you.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast of Growing in Grace. The Bible instructs us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In a moment, you'll hear from Pastor Brian Weiss with instructive biblical teaching for your personal spiritual growth. This message was originally preached at Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Take out your Bible and prepare your heart for what God has for you today. Now let's hear from Pastor Weiss.
We're in James chapter 1. We started here last week, preached a message to you on rejoicing in the trials, and tonight I want to continue as we look at here in the book of James, and we'll pick it up here in the beginning part of James chapter 1. So if you'd stand with me for the reading of the scripture tonight, we'll begin James 1 and verse number 1 once again. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again want to thank you for all that you've done here today and praise you for your goodness. And now, Lord, over the next few moments as we look into your word, we come to you once again seeking wisdom and guidance, Lord, seeking understanding of your word. And as we consider and break down even some of these verses that deal with asking for wisdom and seeking your wisdom, Lord, we do tonight recognize that that's what we need. We need to hear from you. We need the leadership of your Holy Spirit in all things. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would deal with issues in our lives, that you would bring us to a place of humility, if need be, to be ready to submit and to ask and to follow in your wisdom and in your direction. And Lord, for those who are here tonight outside of Christ, having never been saved, regardless of where they are in life and regardless of what their background is, Lord, they need Christ. And so we ask that through the preaching of your word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they would come to an understanding of where they are. And Lord, that they would see that Christ is the only answer and that they would humble themselves and turn to Christ and be saved. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do among us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. A few months ago, I preached a few messages on the subject of knowing the will of God. And the reason for that being that it seems that much of the counseling that I do and people that I talk to about various issues, it seems to be a very common question. How do I really know God's will for my life? And how can I get God's mind on a particular situation as I try to make a decision, and what would God have me to do? And it seems that there's a lot of mystery surrounding the will of the Lord. And I don't know if it's just kind of a misunderstanding of maybe sometimes not fully understanding what God's will is in a very general sense, or sometimes we just feel like, you know, we need to have some kind of a sign or some kind of a real clear answer from God on something. But tonight as we get into James chapter 1, we find some words here that should be comforting to us, and they should also be maybe to some of us a little bit puzzling. As we struggle sometimes to know the will of God and have the wisdom of God and get the mind of the Lord, we find in verse number 5 these words, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So with all the mystery surrounding the will of God, the Lord says, you need some wisdom? Ask. You need to know my will? Just ask me. I'll reveal it to you. And I want you to note that according to the scriptures, God is not trying to hide his will from us. He's not trying to keep us from knowing and understanding his will. He's not trying to keep us from having wisdom and understanding and discernment. In fact, just the opposite is true. It is the desire of God to fill us with understanding and wisdom. So hold your place here and go back with me to the book of Colossians, if you would, for a moment. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Paul says here to the church at Colossae, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, if you start in verse 10 and back up, it kind of helps us to understand what he's saying here. Notice the first part of verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." In other words, our desire for you is that you would be pleasing to the Lord. Well, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want him to be pleased with my life. He says, being fruitful in every good work. I want to be fruitful in good works. I want to be living a life pleasing to the Lord. But what does that look like? And then you back up to verse number 9, and this is what he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." In other words, if you are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, if you are going to be fruitful in every good work, you must be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and understanding. God wants you to know his will. He wants to give you wisdom. We find in the book of Proverbs that the book itself was given so that the simple could come to know to understand and to be given wisdom of the Lord. And all throughout that book we find phrases like this: wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, God wants you to have wisdom. We understand when we're talking wisdom from a scriptural standpoint, we're not talking about the wisdom of the world. We're not talking necessarily about, you know, education, and we're not necessarily talking about you know, that picture we get in our mind of the owl wearing the graduation cap, you know, that wise old owl. We're talking about the will of God, that knowledge of God which is by his Spirit, that knowledge of God which in 1 Corinthians 2 we're told the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He cannot know them. The man who's not saved cannot have the wisdom of God because he is not a child of God, and therefore he is unable to understand and discern these things. But verse 16 of that chapter says, we have the mind of Christ. God has given us the ability to know his will. He's given us the ability to have wisdom as we make decisions. But there are some conditions here given. How can we have the wisdom of God? How can we know the will of God? Well, he says here in verse number 5 again, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Do you realize that the very first condition for us to receive the wisdom of God is to recognize that we need it? if any of you lack wisdom, before we can have the wisdom and knowledge of God and the understanding that the Lord would have us to have, we must first admit humbly that we are lacking in wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I find sometimes we're so prideful that we think that we have everything figured out. We think we know what we're supposed to do. We think we have the direction that we're supposed to go. And yet the Bible tells us that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to us, and in our own wisdom and judgment, it seems equitable. It seems like the right thing to do. But if we don't get God's mind on the matter, we can fail, because the end thereof are the ways of death. I want you to hold your place here and go with me back to the book of 1 Kings and chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon has been anointed to be king over Israel after David his father. It's interesting that David had already told Solomon that he was a man of wisdom. He was a wise man. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 5, it says, In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Now, it's often said here that, you know, well, Solomon asked God for wisdom. When the Lord came and told him, you can have whatever you want, he asked him for wisdom. But I want you to notice that before he asked him for that understanding heart, he first recognized a need. He first admitted his true condition. He said, I am but a little child. Now, Solomon was not a little child by any stretch of the imagination. He was a full-grown man. By his own father's admission, he was a wise man, one who had shown himself worthy and able to be able to lead the kingdom. And when he came before the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't have it. I don't have it. I'm but a little child. Do you see the humility there? Do you see his admission of who he is? And then notice what he says. Verse number 8. He says, thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. Lord, here's why I have this great need. By the world's standards, I may be a wise man, but I realize that the task that you've put in front of me is to lead and direct your people. They're not my people. They're your people. This is a very daunting task, because I am to lead the people of God. I'm to be king over his people, Israel. And then he says, not only, he says, I'm in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Not only are they God's people, but there are so many of them. The need is so much greater, and the job in front of me is so much greater and so far beyond my abilities. Verse number 9, he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may be discerned between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Now I read that, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily I don't know. You probably get a different answer from someone else. But as I read that, it's almost as if the first time Solomon says, this is a great people. He's talking about the number. But the second time, it's as though he's saying, Lord, it's not just that they're a great people in number. These are just great people because they're your people. Lord, I recognize that what you've given me to do is so far beyond my capabilities and so far beyond me. And have you ever stopped to consider that what God has given you in your life is greater, not just beyond your abilities without his help, but it's bigger than just you. He's given you a life that is not your own. When you got saved, you were bought with a price, and you became the Lord's. And even the body that you have today is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And it's so far beyond you. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he's given you a job, and he's given you a family, and he's given you a church, and he's given you all of these blessings. And as we talked about in my Sunday school class this morning, with blessings comes responsibility. And the responsibilities that we have in service to the Lord in all of these areas of blessing that God has given to us is so far beyond our capabilities. And it's as though Solomon stepped back and he said, Lord, I'm so thankful that you have given me the privilege of being a leader and a ruler of your people, but I have nothing to give them. Have you ever stepped back and said, Lord, I thank you for giving me the job that you've given me, but I myself have nothing to offer these people. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the family that you've given me. And if you're a parent here, you'll understand that weight and responsibility of raising your children. And you say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the blessing of my children, but I have no idea what I'm doing here. I can tell you as a pastor, it's that way all the time. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being a leader of your people, an ensample to the flock. But Lord, I'm but a little child. I don't know what I'm doing. I had someone ask me, and you know, I haven't been doing this as long as Pastor Skeving has by any stretch of the imagination. I had someone ask me the other day, how long did it take you to get to where you felt comfortable in the pastorate? I said, I'm still waiting on that one. Still waiting to get to that point where I feel like I've got it under control, because just about the time I do, I realize I have no idea what I'm doing. And even when it comes to standing and preaching, and I've preached thousands of times, and I get on my knees before the Lord and I say, Lord, I need your help, because your people are needing to be fed and they need to be taught from your word, and I've got nothing to give them. And folks, really, we got to realize that we have a need. God has given us responsibilities that they're so far beyond our capabilities. We need his help. And then we read on, and we find in verse number 10 here of 1 Kings 3, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding and to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And then verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And so the Lord here, the Bible tells us, was pleased. He was pleased with what Solomon asked. He was pleased that when given the option, Solomon, you tell me what you want. But Solomon didn't say, Lord, make me wealthy. Lord, make me healthy and give me a long life. Lord, make me victorious. And I've sat and thought about that. And how many times that I pray, do I pray, Lord, I have a need, provide. Lord, I'm struggling with health, heal me. Lord, I'm in a battle right now, deliver me. And those might be fine things to pray, but how often do I stop and step back and just say, Lord, I'm but a little child, and I need wisdom. and I need direction, I need guidance, and I need to know your will. Because before we can have wisdom, we have to recognize our need. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then we go back to James chapter number 1, and we find these words, verse number 6, as we ask for wisdom, verse 6 says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Christian friend, when you ask God for wisdom, you are to ask it in faith, nothing wavering. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Verse 8 says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So as we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I need help, I need direction, I need wisdom, then we are not to turn and get up off of our knees and then go and lean on our own wisdom and follow our own heart. We're to ask in faith, in confidence that God is going to answer this prayer because he has promised to. And then notice he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, you cannot be double-minded in, one, wavering between faith and faithlessness, and two, wavering between the will of God and your own will. When you go to the Lord in prayer and you say, Lord, I have a need, I need direction, I have a decision to make, and I need to get your mind on this, you have to be totally sold out, first of all, to believe that God is going to lead you, and to stand on that, and secondly, to follow him in it and submit to that. And I've got to tell you that I believe a lot of Christian people, they pray and they say, Lord, let me know your will. Help me to know your will. But the attitude is, I want to know your will so then I can decide if I want to do your will or do my will. And then they wonder why they don't get an answer. Because the Bible says that's a double-minded man, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's a complete and total resignation to the will of God that must take place. Lord, I'm seeking your wisdom, I'm seeking your guidance and your direction. It's the only thing that I can cling to, and I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and then I'll trust that you'll direct my paths. I'll let you guide my steps. I resign myself to your will. There's a humility that goes along with this. A humility to recognize that we are incapable ourselves. We are incapable of knowing and understanding the will of God, and we're incapable of achieving the task that God has placed before us. And so we come to the Lord with an understanding of our lack of wisdom, and we resign ourselves. Lord, you're the only hope I have, and I'm trusting you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to try and make this happen the way that I want it to. I'm just going to follow you. Sometimes when we're talking about the will of God, we talk about doors. You ever talked about that? Oh, the Lord has opened a door. That's actually a Bible term. A great door and effectual is opened unto me. What does it mean that a door has been opened? Because sometimes I'd have to say that the Lord just clearly leads in something, and there's just... to not walk through that door would be rebellion. You know, God opens the door and he just orchestrates it all. But then sometimes I feel like I've gone and jiggled the handle on that door a little bit and, you know, push it a little bit. And then if it doesn't work out the way I want, I kick it open myself, you know. Well, the Lord opened a door for me there. Folks, that's double-mindedness. If we're going to go to the Lord and say, I need your help, I don't have any wisdom myself, we also have to trust. We have to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Why? Because verse 6 says, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Just going back and forth, unstable, floundering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There has to be both trust and submission to the will of God. Total confidence in his promise to give wisdom. We can't have one foot in and one foot out. You're either resigned to the Lord's will above all else, or nothing, or you're not. But then we notice this. Not only is there a humility that goes along with this and a humble admission, and there's a wholehearted submission, but we see also that there's a promise. There's a promise that goes with this, because he says very clearly, verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This is not a maybe kind of thing. It's not a hope-so kind of thing. This is a promise from God as much as Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you stand on that promise? Amen. I hope you can. I am. And here's what he says. If you'll ask in faith, he'll give you wisdom. He'll give it to you. He giveth to all men liberally. In other words, this isn't conditional. There's only certain people that God is going to make wise, and others, they're going to stand there and not know the will of the Lord and not understand the ways of the Lord, and they're not going to have judgment and understanding. No, God says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask. He giveth to all men, it shall be given him. It's a promise from God. And so I don't know where you are today in your life, but I know that we have decisions. Every one of us has decisions. We make thousands of decisions every day. Most of those decisions, I dare say, we make in our own wisdom. It's when we get to the really big ones that sometimes we'll go to the Lord with those. But if we're going to have the wisdom of God and get the mind of the Lord on a particular matter or in our lives as we seek to follow His will, we must first of all admit that we have a need. Humble ourselves. Admit our need for Him and for His guidance and for His will. We must submit to His will at all costs. Lord, whatever You lead, where You lead, I'll follow. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to obey You. And He's promised that He'll answer. So whatever your need is today, you need some wisdom, you have some situations in life you don't know how to deal with, go to God with them. Admit that you have a need. Ask Him for wisdom and trust that He'll help you. It really is that simple, folks. As I prepared this message tonight, and I told Pastor Skeving, pray for me, because I feel like there's so much there, but it's just not all coming together, you know? Because it's so simple. If you have a need, take it to the Lord. If you need wisdom, go to Him, humble yourself, and trust His provision to guide you and to lead you. And He's promised that He will. Verse 5, once again, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
This has been Growing in Grace with Pastor Brian Weiss from Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. To obtain a recording of this program, you may send a gift of $2 to Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. You also may listen to programs online at kfbn.org. Join us next time for more spiritual helps that will enable you as you grow in grace. Growing in Grace is a production of Heaven 88.7.